We as a church as the whole, and when I say the church as a whole, I'm not just talking about Word of Life Christian Center. And of course, we have things to do as Word of Life Christian Center. We're always growing, amen. We're always learning. The object is to get better all the time, to never stop, but always keep moving forward, always make progress. And so we as an individual church, but we as part of the larger body have a lot of work to do. The water has been muddied up over the years, and people feel a certain kind of way about church and church people, and people have a certain connotation about Jesus. You know, so when you say Jesus, the whole room changes, no matter where you are. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing for it to change. But it should be more of a pleasant thing. It should be more of a welcome thing in people's lives. So we just got a lot of water to clear up. And I think it just starts with each of us individually. It starts with you and I individually in my own personal devotion, in my own personal time learning more about Jesus, in my own personal time communing with the Holy Ghost to find out what he's saying about Jesus. You're really not going to know Jesus without the Holy Ghost breathing on it for you. It's a true thing. If you don't acknowledge the Holy Ghost on a regular day-by-day basis, if you don't build yourself on your most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost, then you'll never have a revelation of who Jesus is and then who he is in you. Say, who Jesus is in me. Tonight, I'm going to talk about the Savior in you. Say it, the Savior in me. Come on, say it again, the Savior in me. Come on, say it one more time, the Savior in me. The Savior in you. Now, we're going to need the Holy Ghost to enlighten this for us and to breathe on it and to bring life to it. But I know him to be one to do so, so I know he's going to do it. The first thing I want to do, I'll say this to prelude, many times we miss out on a fresh word from God, or we miss out on something that we've never heard before, or we miss out on something different because we approach the word like we already know. Go to Philippians chapter 3 real quick, and this is just a prelude. This is not really my base scripture, but I want to prelude here really quick so that you can be opened up, your mind can be opened up, your heart can be opened up, so that if God wants to say something new to us, we're open to new. We're open to something fresh. Whether you think so or not, I know we got a lot of Bible students in here, me too. And I know we got a lot of people that know the Bible, and we've been in church for a long time, but you ain't even scratched the surface of who God is. You haven't even scratched the surface of how great Jesus really is. I'm making a point in myself, in my daily devotion, I'm in my daily devotion, but when I come to church, when I hear somebody minister, or when I hear anybody minister, I make it a point to try to go in like a baby. I go in like I don't know nothing. Now, I know some things. I know you know some things. I know you got some sermons under your belt, and I know you got some scriptures under there. I understand that. So I'm not taking that from you. Thank God for that, all right? But I have to approach, except you be as a little child. The Bible talks about that. And I have to approach like I don't know anything so that God can show me something that I don't know. If you ever walk into a conversation or walk into a message and you assume that you already know, you are automatically blocking yourself off from getting something that may be the thing that catapults you into where you're trying to get to because you think you already know. You ever talk to somebody that think they know already? Mm-hmm. Somebody say, amen. You talk to somebody that they think they know the answer. You ever talk to somebody that thought they knew what you was about to talk to about already? And so they start answering you, you be like, but you didn't even hear my whole statement. Let me finish a sentence first and then you can see where I'm going. That's one of the hardest conversations in the history of the world. All right, so when you come to a service, when you come, don't come like you already got it already. And this is a prelude real quick. Because if you do that, you'll just miss it. There's scriptures that you've been reading since you've been a child that are ready to yield more revelation to you. You haven't squeezed it all out yet. No. Like, you know, you squeeze juice out of a lemon, or you can't exhaust this word. You haven't squeezed it. Find your favorite scripture, and you think you know it front and backwards. You can say the words backwards. And you can even spell it backwards with all the letters. No, but you haven't squeezed all the juice out of that scripture. So there's something deeper. Everybody say deeper. There's something deeper in those scriptures that God is trying to reveal, but we've got to approach in a certain way. So Philippians 3. And I'll just do a little reading, and it's kind of self-explanatory. But it says, finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord to write the same thing to you, that me indeed is not grievous for you, it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Have no confidence in the flesh. How much confidence? No confidence in the flesh. Verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I'm more. So Paul is saying here, you know, I probably trust in the flesh more than all y'all. Because I know, and in the next scripture he's going to talk about, I know some things. He started giving his criteria, his resume. You see it? Verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. That's powerful, ain't it? Hallelujah, that's powerful. And Hebrew of the Hebrews. That means I'm a preacher of the preachers. You a Christian, but I'm a Christian of the Christians. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Now, let me tell you something. Can I tell you something about the Pharisees real quick? The Pharisees, most people that are Pharisees really don't know they're Pharisees. They don't think that I'm a Pharisee. We can be like that sometimes. Tell the truth. Come on, you can be like that sometimes. You can have a certain mindset towards something, and you don't even know you're the Pharisee. God's trying to do something new, but you don't even know you're the Pharisee. Because you ain't never seen it before, you're the Pharisee. Because I've never seen it on this side, so this can't be right, you're the Pharisee. It's a possibility that you be, if you don't get enlightened by the Holy Ghost and let him open up your eyes so that you can see, you can be the Pharisee. I've been Pharisaic. Thought you knew. And so you bring judgment upon something because you didn't make it or because you have never seen it on that facet. You never seen it like that. But the Pharisees don't usually know they're the Pharisees. They just don't think. Pharisees think I'm right, you wrong. Give me that regular thing I'm used to. Don't tell me that new stuff. I ain't with that fresh. What? Give me what they've been preaching to me. So when a fresh word comes, the Pharisees go straight over their head. Happened over and over again with Jesus. Jesus was showing them things and really showing them what the life was all about. He didn't say, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill the law. I'm trying to show y'all how to live this. You can't do them commandments on your own yourself. No way. So I'm trying to show you how to fulfill it. But the Pharisees didn't know they was Pharisees. So it was going right over their head. So now Paul gives his criteria and starts saying about the Hebrew of the Hebrews. And verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. Verse 7, but what things were to gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. So in other words, all this stuff that I thought I knew, because I finished, can I talk, Montreal, I finished ministry school in the year 2000. I graduated from Ever Increasing Word Training Center. It was Ever Increasing Word Ministry School back then, right? I graduated in the year 2000. I've been preaching since I was 18. Come on, turn up. I done preached some messages. I travel with apostles everywhere. I done seen them lay hands. I done laid hands on people before. And preach some messages and all that different stuff. But you got to count it all loss for Christ. You got to count it all loss for Christ. You hear me? You got to count it all loss for Christ. Because if you don't count all that loss, you'll miss Christ. Verse 8, yeah, dollars, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but what? Dung. You know what dung is, right? Everybody know what dung is, right? So I count them as dung. I count all that stuff that I thought I knew and all that I thought I was, I count it as dung that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10. You read, ready, read. So I'm to conclude that verse 10 ain't for me until I did the verses before that. So I really won't know him until I count everything as lost. And this is just my prelude, y'all. Y'all work with me. But I really won't know Christ until I've counted everything that I've had before as lost. Like I've got to approach tomorrow like today didn't exist. Like I have to approach. I can't breathe today's air tomorrow. I need new air. I need new breath. They got some people in here right now that will not eat leftovers. Let me see your hands. You just will not. Come on, some of y'all, I want it hot. I want it off the stove. Rachel's telling about a grandfather. I want it off the stove. I don't want it out the refrigerator. I want it hot. I want it fresh. I want it right. I don't need yesterday's. What you cooking today? What we got to eat today? Some people like, I eat leftovers. That's all we got. Ain't nothing wrong with eating leftovers. But you get what? I can't breathe. You know, you literally can't breathe yesterday's air. You need air for today. I need to hear what God is saying for me today. That's the only way that I'm going to live today. Is it possible that we're zombies on some days? Is it possible that our life and I like tomorrow, is it possible that I could be suffocating because I'm not breathing? I'd be walking around dead because I think I got something already. I'm living off of yesterday. Praise God for yesterday. But yesterday builds to today. Right now. Everybody say now. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Verse 12, not as though I already attained, either were already perfect. Uh-oh. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Verse 13, brethren, listen to me. I'm talking to you. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Uh-oh. Forgetting those things which are behind. And reaching forth. Everybody reach forward. Everybody reach forward. Don't hit the person in front of you, but reach forward. Don't hit the person in front of you, but reach forward. Reach it. Now, this ain't reaching. See, like this? This not reaching. Come on. You trying to reach on top of the cabinet, trying to reach that thing? Like I'm on my tippy toe, I'm trying to reach. I'm reaching. That'll take some effort, though. Come on, keep reaching. You can't, stop. You just, don't go to church. Go to church. So a lot of people go to church because they think they know. People that think they know, God is my prelude, but people that think they know, they sitting in church like this. So pastor say, go to this scripture. And they done quoted it in their head already. And so now when that fresh comes out, because it's going to come. When that fresh come out, you miss it because you, we call it, when you're playing football, we call it alligator arms. You know, you're familiar with alligator, right? Well, they don't have the longest arms in the world, right? So we would call it playing football. You know, the guy, the receiver running for the ball, and the quarterback will throw it, he can catch it. They used to tell me if your hand can touch it, you can catch the ball, right? But a lot of times, them guys will be scared to get hit, or a little nervous, so they won't stretch all the way out. The ball out here, they won't stretch all the way out to get it, so they call it alligator arms. So they act like they're trying to catch it, but they really ain't. But they're really just trying to protect. They're really just trying to protect themselves. It's not for the team. It's not about the team. We don't want to make yards for the team. I'm trying to protect myself. Or what I'm going to do if I get knocked out? Call it alligator arms. A lot of times we come to church like that. If you think you know already, if you think you got it already, God had told you a revelation yesterday, so now you're on. No, you're not. You think you got it already, you're going to sit up in church like this. Some of y'all sitting here like this with me. That's why I'm talking to you so much right now. You're sitting there. What apostle at? Like, what? Y'all know. I know how it work. I get it. So the boy going to talk about tonight. Here we. And you'll miss it. You'll miss the total flow of what's about to be said. Reach. Come on, reach. Reach. And it says, you can put your hands down. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind me and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press. Everybody say, I press. Come on, say it again. I press. A little louder, say, I press. For the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So I press. I don't fall in. I don't waltz in, but I press. It's like when I'm sitting here waiting for the word of God, I'm pressing in to find out where's the revelation. I'm reaching forth. I'm pressing. I'm reaching forth. I'm pressing. I'm reaching forth. I'm pressing. So so that I can receive. You know, that's the only way you're going to know Christ. You will not know Christ being lackadaisical or regular or nonchalant or easygoing. It don't work that way. You have to press in. You have to put some pressure. You have to give some effort. You have to give some reach in order to receive. You know, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit, the deep things. Talking about the deep things. Yeah. You don't get to the deep things just by looking on the surface and pushing some dirt away. No, you got to dig. You got to put some pressure in order to get those deep things. Now, life may be the way it is because of my arms. I may not receive more. I may not see more. I may not have more. I may not manifest more. More may not change in my environment because my arms are too short. Oh, no, not that your arms are short, but you're holding them short. It's a possibility that those deep things, those great things that God has for me, those great things that God wants to show to me and show through me won't be happening because I'm nonchalant. I get excited when I go to church, but tomorrow is kind of like, all right, I'll wait till we get to church on Sunday. Not as though I already attained. I cannot approach the Word of God anytime. There is no day that it's okay to approach the Word like you know it. There is no time in your life. I don't care what you just finished doing. I don't care if you did a crusade, a worldwide crusade, and the whole world came and fell out under the power when you preach. You still need to approach the Word like you don't know nothing. It's the way. Even, listen to this. I ain't got time to go to scripture. But even Jesus said, I don't know what I'm doing. Even Jesus said, listen. Jesus, everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Y'all know him, right?
Yes. All
right? Even Jesus said, if I testify myself, my testifying is not true.
Right.
My witness is not true. He said, I only do what my Father tells me to do. That's it. Now, how often do we do that? How often are we, we got to die. Everybody say die. Listen, how often do we do that? So I forsake all else for whatever my Father tells me to do. We got a lot of ways. A lot of old stank ways. Oh, you don't want to say amen on that one. Nobody don't want to say amen. I'm going to talk to the wall. You got stank ways. I wish I could look everybody in the eyes at the same time. You got stank ways. I wish I could look myself in the eye. You got stank. They stank. You may not be a nasty person cussing people out all day, but if you ain't doing the will of the Father, they stink. They stale. So we can't approach, this is my prelude, y'all, we can't approach like we already know. Mark chapter 12. And we're going to read an account of something. And I'm going to read the other one, your favorite one, but I wanted to go to this one because we don't usually go to Mark to read this particular passage. So it's like muscle confusion, like I'm trying to confuse your mind a little bit, because if I say the other scripture, you're going to know it, start quoting it in your head. So I'm going to take it to another passage because you don't know Mark 12. What's Mark? I ain't never read Mark 12. All right, here we go. you're going to know the story and the passage when we begin to read it. Verse 28, and one of the scribes came, having heard them reason together and perceived that he might answer them well, asked, which is the first commandment of all? You kind of familiar with it, huh? Verse 29, Jesus answered him and said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Verse 30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And he goes on to talk again. He said, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor, how? As thyself. And there is none other commandment greater than these. So love God with everything. All you got, your strength, your might, your mind, what you got? Love him with that. Whatever you got, love him with that. All of that. He don't want half of you, he want all of it. And the second one is just like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's the greatest commandments. There's no commandments greater than those. All right, Matthew chapter 22. Now, this is your favorite one right here. It's a little muscle confusion. Y'all flow with me. And we're going to read the same account. Matthew chapter 22, starting at verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thy what? Yeah. As thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Hold on. On these two commandments, he only asked him for one, but Jesus gave him two. He always one up you, remember? He always one up you. Whatever you ask for, he's going to one up you, all right? Love the Lord with everything you got. That's the first one. So I'm supposing, I use my imagination sometimes, and I feel like how I feel about things, what somebody would tell, how I would feel if he told me that while I'm sitting there. And I use my imagination how the people felt. And I suppose they were okay with the first one. The law been saying that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind and your strength. All that. Yeah. Do that. I praise the Lord. I'm sure he got some amens on the first one. He probably got a lot of, I knew that already too, probably. When we get to the second one, it get a little hazy for everybody in the room. Everybody. It get a little hazy. But you got to love your neighbor. You got to love your neighbor just like you love yourself. Now, they get a little hazy. We fall off the truck right there. We don't fall off the truck when we at church, when we talking about it, and we amen, and right now, in this particular moment, this environment. But we fall off the truck a lot of times in life on that one. Because I have no problem with loving the Lord thy God with all my heart. That's why I pray in tongues so much in the morning. That's why I read my scripture, because I'm trying to show God that I love him. You don't think he know already or not? I'm cool with that one. But then I got to love my neighbor. Not only do I have to love my neighbor. Come on, read. See, read it. The second one is, come on. You know what I'm talking about. The second one. Read from the second one. You're talking, I don't know where you want me to start. You know where I want you to start. Ready, read. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's a commandment. That's not a request, but it's a commandment. You know, the commandments, that means I told you. When I give you a command, I didn't ask you, would you please go over here and do this? No, I commanded you to do it. You have no choice. Either you're going to obey or disobey. There's no middle grounds for that. Are you going to do it or are you not going to do it? I command you to love your neighbor just like you love yourself. And we ain't got a problem loving ourselves. A lot of y'all put your seatbelts on the way here because you love yourself. A lot of y'all dressed up real nice, put makeup on, do different things, got your hair together, put the odor on, all that stuff, because you love yourself and you like your self-perception and you don't want nobody to think you musty or nothing like that, right? No, you don't, you like you, yourself, that's for yourself. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you did a lot of them things for you. So you don't tell me you don't love you. I got problems loving myself. You a lie. I bet you won't walk across that road when that car coming, right? You love yourself. No, I ain't worried about it. I got self-esteem problems. Nobody can think about that. You love yourself. So you're not going to run yourself out in the middle of the road to get hit. Yeah, you love. Just go ahead and admit and say, I love myself. Go ahead. Say, come on, say it again. I love myself. All right, so we knew that already. So we know it's possible. There's something there. If you didn't love yourself, then we'd have a problem with that whole scripture. We wouldn't have anything to work from. We wouldn't have any anything to judge it up to. Like, we wouldn't have nothing to really gauge it by if we didn't really love ourselves. But the truth is, you do love yourself. So now the scripture says, read it again, read that part again. You know which one I'm talking about. As I said, so the second one likened to, so is it, come on, let's liken. We don't use that word likened into it, but the second one is just like the first one. So does that mean the second one holds just as much weight as the first one? Does that mean that the second one is just like the first one? So that means now it's all one big commandment. Jesus told them two because they was asking about what's the first and great one. Yeah, but it's all one commandment. That all goes together. You can't separate them. You know, truth of the matter is, and I got to get time in my notes, but truth of the matter is, you can't have one without two. And you won't have two without one. Oh, yeah, the first one and the second one, and then the second one and the first one. You can't pick which one you want. Listen. You can't love the Lord your God with all your soul, your mind, your strength, and everything, and then not love your neighbor, because it would compel you to do so. So if you're not doing so, then you're missing number one. A lot of us think we do number one with our rituals. I know. It hurts. I know. We think we're doing number one, but you ain't really doing it. You're not really doing the first one. You're not really doing the first one because the first one compels you to do the second one. It's like knee-jerk. It's like it's just going to happen. Like if I really love God, if I really love God with everything I got, like if I really do that, then it compels me and it changes something in me to want to love my neighbor. Like I don't even have to think about number one and the second. I don't even think about the first and the second. Which one the first one? I don't have to think about it because it's all in love. If I really loved God, it would compel me to do something. So when the last time you did something? Don't tell me nothing about how much you love God. I don't care about your hand raised at the altar. I don't care about none of that. And bless God for all that. But I don't care about none of that. When is the last time that you loved a neighbor just like you loved yourself? Who's my neighbor? Not the person that has an address next to your address. No. Anybody outside of your house. You know, like your temple? Like your body is your house? Anybody outside of your house is your neighbor. So when's the last time you treated your neighbor like you treated yourself? You want to go buy somebody this, because that's good enough for them. No, buy what you would have bought for yourself. Give them something to eat from where you would have ate from. Ooh, it get tough. Ooh, it's tight in here, sweating under the arms and all kind of. It's tight because it gets real. See the love of God gets real. The love of God, so we can't paticate with the love of God. The love of God gets real. Either it is or it ain't. The love of God get right up in your face. Either you're going to do it or you ain't going to do it. What's the deal? Do you really love me? Jesus talking about they say a lot about me and they're always up in my face, but their heart is far from me. Because if you don't do like me, then you're nothing like me. How do I even know you from me? The whole creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Ain't that the truth? Romans 8, right? Ain't that the truth? Yeah, but how they going to know? Oh, you want to call fire from heaven? Yeah, John 14 talking about the works that I do shall you do also. And greater works than these because they go into my... So that's what you want. You want the famous stuff, like the glitzy stuff. Yeah. I want to open up some blind eyes. I want to lay hands on a man in a wheelchair. He get up. Look at what the Lord did through me. Do you not realize that all those things, that wasn't the work he was talking about. All those things were manifestation of this stuff we're talking about right now, loving the Lord your God, with all in love of your neighbor as yourself. Those were effects of love. The Bible talks about Jesus had compassion upon them. What do you think he was talking about? When he was ministering to the sick people, they said he had compassion upon them. That was the root of the love of God. He was here to manifest what God was and who God is and how God feels about humanity. So now when I come to a sick person, there's not so much that you got up out there. That's the easy part. The love is the part where the power is. Faith which worketh by love. You can sing with the tongues of angels. And you can burn yourself. And you can prophesy. But have not love, you ain't nothing. The power, according to the power that worketh in you. It's talking about love. The anointing can't even work with you without love. I want the anointing. You ain't got the love down. You haven't let the Holy Ghost shed abroad the love in your heart. Because if I give you the burden of moving yoke and strong power of God and his power, if you ain't got love together, you're going to kill somebody. You would have zapped somebody today on the road because they cut you off. You said a couple cuss words in your mind. Oh, yeah, you did. And you wanted to pull up next to him and look at him like this. What was you thinking when you pulled down in front of me? You'd have zapped him. The anointing. Wow. That'd have been over. Look at you. You killing people. If you had the power. I know you don't feel like it right now because we're in the holy house of the Lord, our God. But yeah, you would have done it. You're going to feel like that if you leave here. Somebody going to pull out in the parking lot. Hey. You know, the enemy, they say the enemy come quick right after you receive the word. Right after, test you out. So how do I prove that I am of God? We want the sky to crack open and for the fire to come down and show them, God, that we from you. That's what we want. We get excited about stuff like that. And praise God for all that. But I gotta get your love together. I gotta get you able to smile at somebody. I get you to be friendly. Just be nice for a change. I gotta work on that little part first. Right? I gotta do that one talent. I gotta stop letting you dig in the ground and hide that one. Why you keep hiding that smile? Love the Lord your God with everything. And the second one is just like you love thy neighbor as yourself. The Savior, listen. Jesus Christ, listen to me, and I call it the Savior in you because a lot of us understand Jesus as the Savior of you, but not the Savior through you or the Savior in you. Y'all get that for a second? Yeah. You know that Jesus saved your life, right? Yeah. And watch this. Listen to me. You hear me, Larry? Listen to me. And you know that Jesus can save, right? But we never bring it together that Jesus is trying to save through you. Yes. No, you don't need to die on the cross. He's not asking you to go die on the cross. You wouldn't do it no way. Me neither. Yep. Amen. But I know Jesus has saved my life. How many of y'all know that? Amen. Make some noise. Come on. Make some noise like if you know. No, make some noise like if. You know he saved your life. Thank the Lord. Lord Jesus. Woo, thank you, Lord. You saved me. Woo. I thought about it real strong. Thank you for saving me. All right, so I know he saved my life. And I know Jesus saves, but a lot of times we don't equate that Jesus saves through us. The problem with us a lot of times is, now y'all catch me when I'm saying this, that we're trying to introduce them to Jesus and not introduce them to Jesus. Is that a little deep for you? Or do I need to go? All right, listen. I'm trying to... Come here, Rachel, come here, Ronnie, come here. It's like instead of me standing and having a conversation and letting Ronnie maybe tell me something, I'll have the conversation, I just want to be like, Rachel's Ronnie, and just walk off. No, it needs me there. It needs me in the conversation. Like me being there matters. Because, go ahead, you sit down. Because she don't know him. But through me. She, why would I leave them there? They're total strangers. She don't know nothing about him but through me. So I need to stay there. Let me use my words. Let the words speak through me. It's almost like an interpreter. Huh? I've got to interpret. You know what? Sometimes people get saved and we drop them in the spiritual water and they have no idea how to swim. Right. They have no idea how this church thing goes. They have no idea what these tongues are. Right. They said, what are you babbling about, right? They have no idea, and we just drop them in the water and expect them to swim. But what about you? What you there for then? What's your point? We know Jesus is our Savior, and we know that Jesus saves, but we don't see him as a Savior in us. So we're introducing people, but we're not introducing people. Apostles start talking about a Sunday, man, and he started talking about I hope y'all go back and listen to the tapes, Lord Jesus. But he started talking about the word being made flesh again in you. Y'all remember that? If you don't remember, it's something wrong. Yeah, something wrong. The word being made flesh, now get on that. The word being made flesh in you. Being made flesh again. What did y'all think he was talking about? The works that I do, so you do also, and greater works than these that I go unto my Father. What do you thought he was talking about? John 15. Go over there real quick. John chapter 15. He said that over in verse 14, the works that I do. And I ain't got time to read the whole thing. But he says this, he said, John chapter 15, verse 1, he said, and I'm going to read a little further down, but he says, I am, I love that, those two, there's just that right there is enough. Everybody say, I am.
I am.
I said, no, but he said, I am the true vine, not just the vine, but I'm the true vine, there it again. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch that in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Uh-oh. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bear fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in. Verse 5, I am the vine, and you are the branch. And I liked it because I be reading the King James Version. I went to see the word in italicized. Sometimes you could take them out because it's just the word King James added in to make it sound like grammatically correct. And so I was reading today and it said, I'm the vine, you the branches. You know, you are the branches, ye are the branches. No, you the branches. I'm the vine, you the branches. He that abideth me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do what?
Nothing.
So what you been doing? Now, we're gonna be honest in the church. He said, nothing. What have you been doing? Nothing. You ain't been doing a doggone thing. You thought you was doing something. You ain't been doing nothing. Now, this is going to hurt your ego. Don't let your ego get in the way right now and start feeling any kind of way about it and start feeling all touched because I'm not. It's the word. Those words are red. Yeah, you're mad with somebody, get mad at the Messiah. He said, outside of me, you can't do nothing. What's the last thing you did inside of him? Today. He said, I'm the vine, you the branches. I'm the vine, I'm the root, I'm the base, I'm the root. I'm all of that. You only the branches. You're like the branches. Like, it's almost like your extremities, like your I can live, you know what I'm saying? Check my confession out. I won't say that. These are extension of me. All right? Now, my hands don't decide what goes on. My hand only do what I tell them to do. They are an extension of, I don't introduce you and say, hey, how you doing? I'm Montrell. No, like my hand looking you in your face. Hey. Hey, I'll look you in, it's just me right here. But these are only extension of me. So they do what I tell them to do. You the branches. He's the vine. If you're not connected to the vine, you won't bear fruit. Do you feel a little barren? Do you feel like you're not bearing the fruit that you were promised? Do you feel like the things, you know, you read the scripture and all these things that were promised, do you feel like they're not showing up in your life? Maybe you're not connected to the vine. Or maybe you're not abiding in the vine. Connected and abiding. Because abiding means you're living somewhere. So maybe you're not living in the vine. Maybe you got life outside the vine. You connected to go to heaven, but you got life outside the vine. It hits home really, really, really hard. But we don't bear the fruit because we're not abiding in the vine. If we abide in the vine, if we be just like him, if we do the I told somebody the other day, and I was talking yesterday, we was talking, you know, people, and I said this before and I'll say it again, you know, people don't have a problem with Jesus. Why would you have a problem with Jesus? Let's think about it. Because a lot of times when you talk to people and they say they don't believe, they got a problem with the church and with church people and with preachers. Right? Can we be honest? You don't want to say amen. That's true. They never really say, I just don't like that Jesus because of what he did. No, nobody ever says that because there's nothing that he did that was really unlikable. The man fed everybody that came with him. All right, that means if you just came for the message, he fed everybody. You didn't have to go back to the market, right? 5,000, 4,000, right. He fed everybody. He raising people, brothers from the dead, all right. He raising people from the dead, getting people up, opening blind eyes. He's walking on water. He's calming storms. Why would you not want to accept this man? Then on top of all that, in the midst of the peak of his life, he decides to die for you. Why would I not? No, I ain't got a problem with Jesus. They got a problem with them people that's claiming Jesus. Us people, amen. They got a problem with us people. That's why I say the church got a lot of water cleaning. They got a problem with, they don't have a problem with Jesus. See, you want to witness somebody? You really want to witness them and really break it down? You just talk to them. They start saying what they want to say. Say, no. All right, let's take the church out of the picture. Let's take them preachers that you don't like out of the picture. Let's take all them out. Jesus. Tell me something wrong with it. Now you got to make a choice. See the thing about Jesus, praise the Lord for Jesus. See, the thing about Jesus is he's right up in your face with nothing but love, and it causes you to submit to who he is because he's standing there saying, I'm better than you. I'm better than you. Yes, you know when he said, I am the way? He wasn't talking about I'm the ticket to heaven. No, he's like, I am the way you're supposed to live. Like, I'm the way that you're supposed to do all these things. So I'm standing there. I talked to him last night. We were talking. I said, Jesus is the ultimate defender. You can't get by. You can't get past him. You see people playing defense, playing basketball. You can't get past him. He right there. As soon as you run around the corner and think you got it, he right there talking about. Here you go. All roads lead to me. All roads lead to who I am. All roads lead back to this love. All you have to do is, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Submission. At the name of Jesus. Now, it's not talking about Jesus. Because we scream Jesus all the time and stuff don't lay down. Amen. No, but at the character. Remember the name, the character, the name. I remember, never forget Leroy Jr. said that. The name, when somebody's name is their character. So at the character, at the likeness of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So that means when the character of Jesus shows up, it automatically makes you want to submit. But you can't show up with you and Jesus. I'll say it again. You can't show up with you and Jesus. Y'all gonna get them saved. They don't need to see you. You didn't die. You didn't bleed. Need to see him in you. Need to see him in you. You know how they gonna see him in you? That you love your neighbor as you love yourself. So further down in scripture, we talking about miracles. Listen, the greatest miracle is the fact that Jesus was willing to die for us. I don't know if we sit there and meditated enough and we don't see how big a miracle this was. But for Jesus to be on the top of his game and then say, you know what? And he thought about it. He thought about it because he was like, y'all can get a cup pass for me if you can let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will. Nevertheless, then. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that a man, I'm going to show you how much of a miracle it is. They said, Jesus said, you don't take my life, I give it. Right. Remember that? Then because he could have called legions of angels and wiped everybody out. You got that kind of power, what you would have done? That's a Selah pause and think about that one, huh? What you would have done? You got the power to call legions of angels to come wipe out. Oh, they hit you. Am I bleeding? Get them. Like the first thing you're going to do. Woo-woo! It wouldn't even been the beating. And it wouldn't have never got to the stab in the side. No, you would have never seen the thorns. That first lick. Time for him to go. Get him, God. Get him, Father. That first lick. And if you'd have took the first and second lick, it's me all deep. I could take a couple of licks. All right. That first time you started getting unconscious. You know, they beat him until he was unconscious. But they didn't want to kill him, so they brought him back up so they can beat him some more. The crucifixion was the worst type of death. You know, they were cutting people's heads off and killing people other ways, but they wanted to crucify. They wanted to make a point. They wanted to make a spectacle. They beat you enough until you're about to die, then they give you a little water so you won't die. And let you breathe a little bit and catch your breath, then I'll start beating on you again. We don't know how big a miracle that really was. You know, we look at all the other miracles, and we jump on those and praise God for those. People do need to get up out their wheelchairs. People do need their blind eyes open. People do need to be raised from the dead. Amen. But it comes from this miracle. All of it comes from that miracle. All it comes from that miracle, that a man would give his life. That a man would give his life. That another man would give his life for another man, even if he's not willing to accept. I'm sitting here dying on the cross for these people that's crucifying me. There's no greater love. Verse 13, John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. It don't get no greater than that. It don't get no greater than love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's what that's saying right there. Lay down your life. Lay down your life. That was the saying, love your neighbor as yourself. Lay down your life. That scripture right there? No, love your neighbor as yourself. It's saying the same thing. There's nothing greater than that. You can't tell me that you love God with all your heart and you ain't doing this. Bull. I call it. Bull. You got the nerve to turn your nose up at somebody. You got the nerve to have an attitude. Let's go home with the people you live with. Why are you acting like that in your own house? No, why are you acting like that in your own house? You can't be praying in the Holy Ghost. You must be vain babbling. Because if you were praying in the Holy Ghost, the love of God would be shed abroad in your heart by that same Holy Ghost, and things would change. Your little stink attitude, the way you feel about things, you think you're always right, all that different stuff. Those things would change if I was really praying in the Holy Ghost. So if you're not praying in the Holy Ghost, what you praying in? What you praying in? It should be changing. It should be different. I am to conclude that we all have a lot of work to go back and do. We got to sit there and really talk to God. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. Help me to love my neighbor. Help me to love that person that I don't seem that lovable. You know what? It's easy to. You know, we done came to church tonight. We Word of Life members and all that. So it's easy to smile at y'all. You on side of the road, you need some help. It's easy to stop and help you. It's easy to help your cousin them, and your nana and all them. That's easy. And sometimes we chalk that off. We chalk that off to showing the love of God. No. No, he gonna try you. Just like he tried Jesus, he gonna check you out with something. Jesus saves, why don't we save? I wrote this on my note. Jesus forgives, why don't we forgive? Why don't we forgive people? You know, people could come in not even looking like us, and we just condemn them. we out in the world. That's not your creation. That's God's creation. That's not for you to be making a judgment on. You need to be hearing. If you listen, you need to be hearing and have righteous judgment, not your feeling judgment. But we do it every day, so we walk around in unforgiveness all day long. You'll unforgive somebody just because they're doing something that you see, and you just, in your mind, you have unforgiven them. They're not forgiven. You've already cast the judgment. You've already wrapped. Thank God you ain't God. Me neither, because I done it too. Trust me, I preach this to myself in the mirror. Not like rehearsing the message, but like I preach this to myself. Just sitting there, just looking around at people. And I don't need an amen corner. I don't need somebody with their hands stretched to me praying in tongues for me to understand what's going on. So I just sit there, and then the Holy Ghost starts to talk to me and says, you know, you don't handle this right. You know, you got some stuff that you need to drop. You know, you got some ways that you feel about people that you'll never be able to reach those people. And I just put them right there in front of you, but you can't reach them because you're judging. So you want these miracles, fire in the air, and eyes will be open, but you can't just not judge. I mean, the simplest things. If you've not been faithful in that which is least, why should I let you walk around doing miracles outside manifested out your hands, and on the inside you got problems? If I let you do that with your hand on the outside and you don't fix that on the inside, you'll never know that there's something wrong on the inside. No greater love than for you to lay down your life. There's no greater commandment than loving thy neighbor. Now, you thought I was going to say the other one. I know, loving your neighbor as yourself. On this too, hang all that stuff you believing for. What you believing for? What you been quoting and confessing and saying? You got it written down in your book, and you go so because you believe in God for something to come back? All that hang on this. Oh, no, all that hang on this. All that hang on this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man, that shall he also reap. Okay, so if I sow life. So if I sow life, I'll reap. What is it about your life that you want to change? What is it that you want to be different? What is it that you want more of? What is it that you want to happen that's not happening? What is it that you've been believing God? Then your health. And all these different things that's going on, and you want somebody to lay hands on you, praise God, we'll lay hands on you, but that laying hands won't work if there's a problem going on the inside. See that there's it won't do nothing but get you a good little feeling, right? And then what's really going to happen is the Holy Ghost is going to be talking to you and tell you you need to change. Whatever that is you're dealing with in your body, whatever it is you're dealing with in your family, whatever it is you're dealing with in your finances, whatever it is you're dealing with in your mind, whatever shortcomings you got going on, you believe in God for your children, you believe in God for your children. When is the last time you helped somebody else with their children? When is the last time that you ministered to somebody else's child and not said, look at them doggone kids? Y'all know we say it. Kids gone to hell. Look at them. Look at you. You done sent them there now. Look at you. But you want God to save your children. Oh, we're very we don't know it because we don't know it because we smile, and we don't know it because we're not really mean. Oh, we don't know. You know, a lot of times I'm here at church, I really don't know who mean and who not mean. Everybody be smiling at me because of apostle. You know what I'm saying? So we don't really know who really got a whole nasty attitude at the house. But you know if you got one. Yeah. And we don't really know it. We don't really know it because we don't sit there and take enough time to pay attention. But we're real selfish individuals. Somebody said, I'm not selfish. No, you the one I'm talking about. Just the fact that you thought like that. You was the first one on the list. We do a list of everybody that came to church tonight. You the first one on the roll. Quickest way to make it happen for you is to make it happen for somebody else. It's a true statement. You want deliverance? You want deliverance? Bring deliverance. You know, it all starts with a gift first. For God so loved that he gave. Right, right? Can I get another one? We only love God because he first loved us. It all starts with a gift. Yeah. Everything good always started with a gift.
Right.
It always started with giving first. So you're not receiving love because you don't give none. Now, God is trying to love on you all day long. He loves you with everything, and he's trying to drop some manifestations of his love to you. But I can't do it because you ain't dropping off what I gave you already towards somebody else. Wait for my next words. Just think about it for a second. Just look at yourself. Think about where you can change. What's that button the Holy Ghost been pressing and you know he's been pressing it, but you don't want to change? What's that thing that you don't want to give up? Who's that person that you just will not help? I won't minister to them. I won't go over there. You can't have one without two. You just can't do it. Listen, this is the way God built it. You wanted something else, you need to leave the church. You wanted another way, you need to give up the faith. Because the faith works by love. The faith, yeah, right. Yeah, it works by love. That's the only way it works. It don't work by nothing else. It don't work by your confession. It don't work by your reading. It don't work by your praying. It works by love. Us in the aisles.